May we be helped to begin our evening service by singing together hymn 940 to the tune St. Stephen, 229. Compared with Christ, in all beside no comeliness I see. The one thing needful, dearest Lord, is to be one with Thee. Loved of my God, for Him again, with love intense I'd burn. Chosen of Thee, ere time began, I choose Thee in return. Hymn 940, tune St. Stephen, 229.
To read this evening from the prophet Ezekiel chapter 36 down to verse 28. The prophecy of Ezekiel chapter 36 down to verse 28. Also, thou son of man, prophesy unto the mountains of Israel, and say, Ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, because the enemy hath said against you, Aha, even the ancient high places are ours in possession. Therefore prophesy and say, Thus saith the Lord God, because they have made you desolate, and swallowed you up on every side, and that ye might be in a possession unto the residue of the heathen, and ye are taken up in the lips of talkers, and are an infamy of the people. Therefore, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God to the mountains, and to the hills, to the rivers, and to the valleys, to the desolate wastes, and to the cities that are forsaken, which became a prey and derision to the residue of the heathen that are round about. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, surely in the fire of my jealousy have I spoken against the residue of the heathen, and against all Idumeam, which is a city of Edom, which have appointed my land into their possession with the joy of all their heart, with despiteful minds, to cast it out for a prey. Prophesy therefore concerning the land of Israel, and say unto the mountains, and to the hills, to the rivers, and to the valleys, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I have spoken in my jealousy, and in my fury, because ye have borne the shame of the heathen. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I have lifted up mine hand, surely the heathen that are about you, they shall bear their shame. But ye, O mountains of Israel, ye shall shoot forth your branches, and yield your fruit to my people of Israel, for they are at hand to come. For behold, I am with you, and I will turn unto you, and ye shall be tilled and sown. And I will multiply men upon you, all the house of Israel, even all of it. And the city shall be inhabited, and the waste shall be builded. And I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bring fruit. And I will settle you after your old estates, and will do better unto you than at your beginnings. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. Yea, I will cause men to walk upon you, even my people Israel, and they shall possess thee, and thou shalt be their inheritance. And thou shalt no more henceforth bereave them of men. Thus saith the Lord God, because they say unto you, Thou land devourest up men, and hast bereaved thy nations. Therefore thou shalt devour men no more, and neither bereave thy nations any more, saith the Lord God. Neither will I cause men to hear in thee the shame of the heathen any more. Neither shalt thou bear the reproach of the people any more. Neither shalt thou cause the nations to fall any more, saith the Lord. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. Wherefore I poured out my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land, and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries. According to their way, and according to their doings, I judged them. And when they entered unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name, when they said to them, These are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of his land. But I had pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel have profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned amongst the heathen whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. We'll leave the reading there, friends. May the dear Lord bless the reading of his holy word to us each, and help us now in prayer. O Lord, we do beg that we might be permitted to come before thee, that we might find in that precious name that we have just read about, that is profaned by the heathen, that we might find that name our access, that we might find that entrance into thee by thine own name. Lord, that we might be accepted in the beloved as we come to the throne of grace. Oh, we do thank thee for another service, Lord, whereby we might be enabled to praise thy name once more in the sanctuary. Oh, we do come, Lord, pleading that thou would make up our number, that thou wilt be found in the midst of us. Lord Jesus, we do beg that thy presence might be known and found. Oh, that we might feel the melting of our hearts, that we might feel the binding of them, the knitting of them together under that precious name. Lord, may the banner of thy love be known and felt in our midst this evening. And may we be invited to the banqueting house. Lord, we do pray then that thou would so bless us indeed as we gather around thy word. As we gather once more, dear Lord, to go through, and may it not just be our duty to go through it, but may it be a divine heavenly privilege to go through the service. Each part of it, we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt receive honour and glory. Oh, may we not take away from thee, dear Lord, although we know that we cannot give more to thee, but we would be found glorifying thy name. And may we not hurt or damage anything that has gone before this day. Lord, whether thy word was read or whether it was preached, we do hope and pray that it still lives on. The text might live on in the people's hearts through another week, to help them until the next time. Lord, we pray that it might do each one of us good, thy word from day to day, from week to week. We thank thee that thou hast given these places of prayer, these places of worship, where the gospel can freely be spoken of. Lord, we thank thee that there is no law against us. There is nobody stopping us coming to thy house. So we would thank thee for these great privileges, dear Lord, and may we not take them for granted. And may they not just be something that we've always done, but may these be special times when we gather together to find thee, that thou wouldst manifest thyself to our hearts, to our souls, that it might do us good. Oh, that we might have something this evening from the storehouse on high. Lord, we bring all our matters to thee, and may we be enabled to cast them upon thee. Lord, there are so many things within our hearts and minds and lives that we need thee for. We cannot sort them out ourselves. So we do come, dear Lord, pleading once more that thou would come and display thyself through the scripture. Display thyself, dear Lord, through the gospel, that we might find that resting place in thee. Lord, help this corner of thy vineyard, we do pray. We pray that thou wouldst help the deacon, Ray, here, do bless and remember him and be with him. And Bernard, as he goes out to preach, help him, dear Lord, as he preaches thy name. And be with them together as the affairs and the burdens of this cause of truth lay heavy upon their shoulders. And we pray that thou wouldst strengthen them for the work and go before them, dear Lord, in all matters, we do pray. And we beg that thou wouldst hear their prayers and answer them. And the prayers offered in the vestry this evening, we do pray that there might be a manifestation of the answer of prayer, even this evening, that thy name might have all the glory. Lord, do help each one that attends this cause of truth. And in thine own time and way, we pray that it might be built up, Lord, and not just in numbers, but built up with those who are already here, that they might come and declare what thou hast done for their never-dying souls. Lord, that there might be those of thy people in all these causes of truth willing to walk in thy ways, to take up their cross, to deny self, and to follow thee. Dear Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst do this for thy people, so that there might be these encouragements. There might be those, dear Lord, to come and in one day take the places of those who have gone, deacons and ministers and pastors. Lord, we pray that there might be those mothers and fathers in Israel. There might be the seed to serve thee that is following us. There might be those, dear Lord, in the older generation that will be made willing in the day of thy power. Lord, these are not too many things to ask thee for. We read and we have that hymn, Thou art coming to the King. Large petitions with thee bring. And so may we, dear Lord, follow that, and may we not hold anything back, but may we continually pour out our hearts to thee. And Lord, do remember each one that gathers this evening, here and elsewhere, and thy servants that stand. We pray for them, that thou wouldst be everything to them, be mouth matter and wisdom to them. May they have a clear heart and a clear mind, and Lord, speak through them, we do pray. May the oil of thy grace be poured out this evening, and that we might be recipients of it. Oh Lord, we do thank thee for thy many mercies. We thank thee, dear Lord, for bringing us safely to the evening hour, and that thou hast been more to us than we could have asked thee this morning. We thank thee for it. And Lord, we do pray that those things that have been attended to throughout the chapels and churches this day might be truly to bring thee honour. Lord, we do once again pray for James and Samantha. Dear Lord Jempson, we pray for them earnestly, that thou would strengthen their hearts and be with them in the loss of their eldest son. Strengthen them for the days and weeks and years as thou dost spare them to come and the family. Be with them, dear Lord, we do beg, and send comfort into their hearts. And we pray for the wider Jempson family, dear Lord, still some of them mourning their loved one, mourning George. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst help them all, the grandparents and the parents. Those, dear Lord, we do beg. Those of thy people that mourn in that mourning way. And Lord, we do pray for any that have lost loved ones recently, widows and widowers, the lonely ones. Lord, there's so many that need thee. And thou hast said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. So we can only plead thy word to thee, dear Lord, that thou wilt comfort them, that thou wilt bless them. We pray for those who are unwell and afflicted. We thank thee, dear Lord, for those with us. We pray for Emily as she returns to university later on. Be with her and bless her. And Phil, we pray that thou wouldst heal him. And Lord, there are those that are suffering. There are those in pain. There are those, dear Lord, laid aside. We pray for them. And thy servants, especially as they are unable to preach, we pray that thou wouldst remember each one of them and raise them up again to declare the unsearchable riches of Christ. Oh, we do beg, dear Lord, that the Holy Spirit might be amongst us this evening, that there might be that done which will be done and done forever. Lord, those things that we need done in each of our hearts, and not the superficial things of this life, but those things, dear Lord, that will encourage us to press on, those things that will help us to look to Jesus, those things, dear Lord, that will be eternal in our own hearts, something for ourselves, and confirm if we have anything, dear Lord, if we have something from thee, confirm it this evening. Oh, we beg of thee, give us that to speak, Lord, that comes from thee. Oh, may we be found in thy will, and thy will found in us. So do go before us, Lord. We do pray. There's so many things personally that we need to ask thee for. There's so many things in each of our lives. But Lord, most of all, we ask that we might feel thy presence here this evening. And if there are any listening online, we pray for them. Lord, we do pray that they might feel the presence of the Lord, that their prayers might be heard and answered. And we believe many of their prayers hold us up and help us on our way. And so, dear Lord Jesus, we pray once more that thou wouldst help us with the singing of thy worthy praise, and go before us into the word, so that all we have to do is follow thee. Bless us now for thy dear name's sake. Amen.
The notices for the opening week are that, God willing, Mr. Gary Christie is engaged to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Paul Tyler next Lord's Day, both morning and evening. And there will be a church meeting on Friday the 9th of February at 10:30 a.m. May we now be helped to continue our worship, singing together hymn 968, hymn 968, June St. B's 494. Hark, my soul, it is the Lord, 'tis thy Saviour, hear his word. Jesus speaks, and speaks to thee, say, poor sinner, lovest thou me? Can a woman's tender care cease toward the child she bare? Yes, she may forgetful be, yet I will remember thee. Mine is an unchanging love, higher than the heights above, deeper than the depths beneath, free and faithful, strong as death. Hymn 968, June St. B's 494.
Jesus, save, and save.
Dear Lord, help me to say a few things from Ezekiel chapter 36 and three words in verse 11. Four words. I will settle you. Prophet Ezekiel chapter 36 and four words from verse 11. I will settle you. Now we read in the book of Psalms, Psalm 107, the people wandered. And they wandered to and fro. If you read that psalm, it's a lovely psalm because it speaks of the poor sinner wandering to and fro. But the Lord appeared for them in everywhere they went. He was there to bless them. He was there to control them. He was there all the time. Now, what about you and I? Are you wandering? Now, it doesn't mean to say that you're wandering from chapel. It doesn't mean to say that you're wandering away physically. But friends, our hearts wander from the Lord. We are a wandering people. We cannot fix ourselves on better things. We cannot keep ourselves to better things. As much as we try, we prove more and more, and especially as the Lord teaches us and shows us, we prove that we cannot stay in a state that we would love to be in. We are wanderers. And that's just in our minds and hearts. Just before I came out, I found this a lovely hymn, and it's obviously very well known to you all. 199. And it says this. It says, let thy grace, Lord, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. And then the hymn writer says this, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Now, friend, can you say it? Can you really say it? Here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. Seal it from thy courts above. Friends, these dear hymn writers, they knew what they were saying. They felt they'd been shown the heart of man, how prone it is to wander. And I believe if you are a sensible sinner, the Lord has begun with you, you will know and understand that you cannot keep your heart. It will be prone to wander all the time. And that's why these words are so precious, aren't they? It's a promise from the Lord to this people in Ezekiel. What they've done, this people, Israel, they've been delivered, they've come up through the wilderness, and they found no place where they could settle. There was no place through the wilderness. You know, friends, have you found it the same? I used to think that I could settle in this or I could settle in that, and all my days I would be happy. But the Lord won't allow it if you're one of his people. He won't allow you to settle long. Our poor flesh would love to settle down and enjoy what we could enjoy here. But really, friend, if the Lord loves you, we are here to enjoy him. We're not here to enjoy ourselves. We're not here to enjoy all the pleasures of sin. We're here for one reason, that we might bring glory to God and enjoy him as he reveals himself to us. And it is only as he reveals himself to us. Otherwise, friends, we will settle down here. We will. This is our heaven. You think of it, friends. If the Lord doesn't begin with us, if we're left in the state that we were born in, this is our heaven. This is the most pleasant place. This is a place of free from gnashing of teeth and weeping. This is a place that we can enjoy. But if you are a child of God, this is a wilderness. This is a waste, howling wilderness with enemies on every side. And of course they wandered, this poor people of God. They were heading towards the promised land. And friend, they couldn't rest. And there would be no rest until they got to the promised land. They couldn't settle in the wilderness. Let me ask you a question. Can you settle? Have you got something in your mind that you're settling on? Has this thing that you've got set in your mind got the approbation of heaven upon it? Ah, there's a difference. There's a difference, friends. There's a difference if you have the approbation of heaven on something. And when you don't, and you will know it inside, you will know it in your heart. whether heaven is pleased with where you're settling down and whether you're not. Because he knows, just like the dove from Noah's Ark, she went to and fro. Oh, that dear dove. But she couldn't settle anywhere. Where did she come back to settle? The place she left. Even the ark. And the dear Noah, he pulled her into the ark. He knew she couldn't settle, so he pulled her in. And these people here, throughout this chapter, they couldn't settle anywhere. The Lord said, but I will give you. I will give you a land. And it's that promised land flowing with milk and honey where he would settle his people. You think they came out of Egypt under all the persecution and all the strife and all the stress that they were under, and they came out and they thought the wilderness would be a place to settle. And then what happened? They had the serpents that stung them. They had all the things that were against them in the wilderness. They couldn't settle there. Where did they settle? Well, even in the land of promise here below, they couldn't settle, could they? Their eyes had to be looking another place. And so we see right through the wilderness, these words meant so much to them because they were a promise of things to come. The tabernacle, they walked carrying the tabernacle. You think how many miles the Lord made them walk? We don't know, because it was when the pillar moved and then when it stopped. But they had to walk, trudge through this wilderness. And then you think how beautiful it must have been when the Lord stopped. You think of the rejoicing in the heart when the Lord stopped. And they could put up, they could erect the tabernacle. They could settle down again. And then all the things, the worship, they could do. And then as soon as the Lord moved, did he ask them? Did he ask them when he was going to move? Did he say to Moses and Aaron, come, I want to speak to you. Did he say, is it time for me to move? No, he didn't, friend. He didn't. Just as they were settling down. Just as they thought the Lord had stopped for a moment. Just a bit longer. What did he do? Up and gone. They had to clear everything up. And they had to follow him. This is the same with you and me, isn't it? I don't mean we move about like they do. But it's in our heart. We get settled on one thing. And the Lord says, no, you're not having any more time on that. You're moving. And he will move you. He will move you. And then you settle on something else. And he says, no, you mustn't rest there. You've got to keep going. And then you'll have to follow him again. And it's him moving us, not us moving God. I think today, and it's so rampant in these other churches or whatever it is, they move God. They tell him what to do. They're telling him to follow them. It's all turned upside down. We follow the Lord. The Lord doesn't follow us. Not in that way, does he? He does in a particular way follow us, in our sorrows and our and troubles. But we follow him. And so we have it here. They were looking for a settled rest. Now, those occasions where the disciples, they were taken because of they had healed a man, hadn't they? And they were taken, and the people questioned them. And really, they were questioning them, the disciples, about God, Peter and James, John. And they were questioning what they had done through the name of Jesus. But listen, when they let them go, where did they go? And this is so beautiful, if you and I have found that settling. Where did they go when they were let go? It says when they were let go, they went to their own company. Now isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful, friends? If you can't find company in the world, if you can't find the company amongst the wicked, if you can't find company amongst all the entertainment and all the lusts of the flesh and all those things that are so, well, they're so drawing of the body, if you can't find a settled rest there, what happens? You go to your own company. I think that's so precious, friends. Especially if you've been in these things and you've found that there's no help there. You've found that there's no pleasure there. You've found that the Lord has turned it all upside down. Then you will go to your own company. And one day, friends, you will go to your own company. You will go to your own company. If you've got your company here below, that will be your company forever.
If you've got your company in the people of God, that will be your company forever. Isn't that amazing? So what do we do when the Lord lets us go? We go to our own company. And then I think of that Shunammite woman. When the dear old prophet, he went and she did so much for him, didn't she? She gave him a little place and a little table and some food. Every time he passed by, he could go in there. He found a settled place. Before, he just walked past this house. He just kept walking past and she said, a prophet walks past. Let's make something. Let's do something for him. So she made this little place on the side of the house and she gave him a place to rest. And the dear man, I will settle you. You think of what was in his heart. The trudging about he had to do, and yet the Lord found a little place. Have you found a little place for the Lord? Has the Lord found a little place for you to settle? Has he? He could go in there with his God, and he could have his little table, and he could have his little bed, until he went on again. And the day came when they wanted to do something for this Shunammite woman, so they went and asked her. And I hope and pray this is what you would answer. And they said, well, will you be spoken of to the king? Will you be spoken of for this or that? What do you want? And do you know what she said? I dwell among mine own people. That was it. That was it. That's all she needed. And that's all you and I need, isn't it? Ruth with Naomi. I dwell among mine own people. And you know, when we were younger, we didn't realise the privilege of being amongst the godly. We didn't realise the privilege of being amongst those that knew God, where His Spirit was. You know, when you were young at chapel, you can't understand it, you don't want to be there, you want it to finish, you want everything to stop so that you can get into the next week as quick as you can. Not now. Not now. I will settle you among my people. And there you will find a settled rest. Lovely things, isn't it? You know, a little baby, I've said it before, but how often when you pass a little baby around, and we have twins, little babies in our family, and you pass them around, they're not resting and they're not settled until they're back with their parents. When the mother takes hold of them, and they both want to get into the mother's arms. Everybody else thinks that they want to, the babies want them to hold them, but they don't. And it's the same here. I will settle. When is it you feel settled? When you feel the embrace of Jesus. When you feel Him close to you, you feel settled. Now, I want to look at this briefly, friends, but we get so unsettled. I don't know whether any of you here or listening this evening might be unsettled in something. And really, I see this in two ways. The Lord unsettles us. You might have your heart set on something. You might have had your heart set on something for years. And you feel that it's being brought to pass. And you feel if only it would come to pass, then you could settle. Everything would be made fine. And what does the Lord do? He gives you a thorn. He puts something into it. He puts something to make you unsettled. And you can't understand it. Why does he do it? Because you would feel that the thing that you're after is more precious than Jesus. And there's nothing more precious than the Lord. Nothing. And he won't have your heart go after something else. He won't have your heart go after something natural or a human. He won't have you go after something. He will have you go after him. And so when we just about think that we're getting settled on something, he unsettles us. And if the Lord has ever unsettled you, you know what it's like. You know what it's like to feel unsettled, don't you? You know that you're not, the Lord isn't happy with you. You know, I went to this place and I thought it was the Lord's will. I really thought that he'd led me there. I thought that this is right, this is the way. And he unsettled me in my heart. And I knew straight away I hadn't got the approbation of heaven. I hadn't got the smile of heaven upon it. And I knew straight away that I couldn't stay in it. And I believe every child of God feels this. Just when you think you got settled, and why is it? Because the way of man is not in himself. It's not in himself. Plan it as much as you can, friend. You go out and plan it. If it's of God, it'll work. If it's not of God, doesn't matter what you think or what you do, if it's not of God, you will be unsettled in it, and slowly he'll bring you out of it. Because that's what his spirit does. He won't let you settle down. You think of the wine in the bottles, the sediment. Jeremiah says about Moab, he says they've settled upon the lees. In other words, the sediment has all settled at the bottom of the wine. What did it need doing? It needed emptying from vessel to vessel. That's exactly what needs to do, to be done. So that the flavours, so that everything is stirred up, so that it's not just standing there. And now this is what the Lord does with his people. He stirs them up. He unsettles them. Especially, I think of when the Lord begins with you. He turns the world upside down. And then as you go along, he turns the world upside down. And as you get older, he turns the world upside down. Why is it? So that he can empty you from vessel to vessel. And an empty vessel is filled. He doesn't leave an empty vessel empty, friends. He doesn't. If the Lord has an empty vessel and you are that empty vessel and he's emptied you, then he will fill you. If you've got no room for God in your life, how can he fill you? If there's no room for him, this is naturally, how can he come in? But if you've got no room for him and you're one of his children, he empties you. That's not nice. That's not nice when you're going through it. Yes, it's all right in hindsight. It's all right to look back. It's all right to tell the young, you'll be all right. If the Lord empties you, he'll fill you. That's all right saying that. But when the Lord empties you, you don't know what he's going to do with you. You actually think that he's emptying you to finish you, completely finish you. It's only afterwards, as you look back, and you think he emptied me because he was going to fill me. And there you find a settling. But this unsettling is awful feeling for a child of God. It is. And there's many places that the Lord settles his people, isn't there? And one of them is at the cross. The precious cross of Jesus is a settling place. You know, before you get there, this is what I believe. Before you get to that precious Christ, before you get to his sufferings, before you get to the cross or the grave or the garden, you won't understand a thing. You will be so unsettled. It is the work of grace. But once you get there, once the Lord brings you there, once you have these things revealed to you, there's a settling that you could never explain to anybody. He settles all those fears. He settles all those temptations. He settles all those great things that were ahead of you. And he shows you. And he brings you to that place of the foot of the cross. It's settled. You sing it. I know you sing it, but do you really mean it? All is settled. And my soul approves it well. Can you really sing that tonight? Can you say it? All is settled. What? That me, a poor, hell-deserving sinner, must be found in Christ to go to glory. All is settled. And my soul approves it well. So you see, this people that had come up, they were waiting and looking for a place on earth. And the Lord gave them the promised land. But really, friends, that was a type of glory. It was a type of heaven where they would find the settling. But perhaps the Lord is speaking to us. Are you in something where you can't find any settling? Is there something in your life? Perhaps you're getting anxious about something. Perhaps you've got to make a decision. Perhaps there's something in front of you and you can't settle. You know those feelings, don't you? When there are those huge mountains in front of you and you can't settle anywhere, can you? And the closer the mountain to you get to the mountain, what happens? The mountain gets bigger. And there's no settling, is there? You know, we might have appointments. We might have those things that are coming. We might have those things on the horizon. And it's to unsettle us.
It's to bring us to God. For a real child of God, these things in front of us are to bring us to him, to bring us to his feet. Now, he has given to us on earth the privilege of having a settled house of God. You know, the house of God doesn't have to be walls and everything that we have. The house of God can be just a roof with no walls. It doesn't have to be tiled, it can be tin. You think of all over the world, the places that are called the house of God. The place where his people gather. The place where he has, he's promised to be where his people are. And, you know, the churches up and down the land, they've been turned from the house of God to cafes. They've been turned from the house of God to restaurants and to marketplaces. The very house of God has been turned completely. Where men used to settle under the ministry, where men, you think of J.C. Ryle and all those old ones, where they had a congregation settling under the gospel. Now it's all changed. And they've taken the house of God and they've used it as a commercial thing. And there can't be a settling there. Once man takes hold of these things, there cannot be settling. But when God works, I do like this, friends, because if you have a heart like mine, it's unsettled. And you can't really bring it back to what it should be. It's something that it keeps fearing, it keeps worrying, it keeps being anxious. There's so many things. So I do love when the Lord speaks like this. I absolutely love it. I will settle who? I'll settle him, I'll settle her, but I'll settle you. And that's personal. If you have the Lord say this to you and me, you, I'm going to settle you. In that is troubling you this evening, that might come upon you that will trouble you, I'm going to settle it for you. And when he puts things right, oh friends, when he puts things right, it's like a covering of love, isn't it? It's just like throwing a complete net or cover over something, and everything is right underneath. Everything is in order. Everything's placed right. Those things that you couldn't place right, he places them just where they should be. And you might think, well, I have. You might think, I've tried to do that for years. I've tried to sort out that matter for years. I've tried to put that right for years. And the Lord comes and he does it in a moment. He settles everything, doesn't he? Are you praying for it? Is it something that's uppermost in your heart? Perhaps it's between two of you. Perhaps it's in a family. Perhaps it's a stranger. Perhaps it's a relative. The Lord puts it right because he settles you, friend. He does. You know, there were two members in a church and they fell out. Shouldn't fall out, should we, in a church? God's people falling out, they fell out. And they couldn't make up. They went for a long time. They couldn't make up. There was nothing they could do. They didn't like each other. And you know our old flesh, don't you? We're so reluctant to say sorry. We're so reluctant to go and apologise. I don't know why. My old granddad said once that it was the easiest word in the English dictionaries to say sorry. And yet we've made it the hardest. It's one of the hardest English words that you and I could ever say, is sorry. Especially to one another. We can say sorry to the world, but we can't say sorry easily to the brethren or sisters. But these two men, they fell out and they couldn't make up. And the Lord broke in. He broke into one of the hearts of these men. And he walked miles. He walked absolutely miles to his brother's house. And he knocked on the door. And as the brother opened the door, he said, I'm so sorry. And the Lord worked both ends of the matters. He said, I was coming to say sorry to you. They were both settled in the matter. They both thought that they were right to begin with. And now they saw they were both wrong. And the Lord had settled them together. Isn't that beautiful? And that's just a simple illustration or example of how the Lord settles matters with us. He settles matters in your marriage. He settles matters with your children.
He settles matters in the church. He does, friends. He does it all. Why? Because at the end of the day, it's for His glory and not yours and mine. Do you think He loves to see brethren and sisters at loggerheads? Of course He doesn't. Look at the word, love one another. I never thought to speak in this vein, but this is exactly what the Lord is saying. I've come that you might have joy, and that you might have it more abundant. Isn't it beautiful, friends, when you have the Spirit of God amongst us, when you can feel it, He settles it. And so if whatever you have in front of you, whatever you're walking through this evening, and the Lord will make you walk through things, He will. And He'll make you walk through things simply to show you that He can do impossibilities, that He can settle things that you can't. And it's you personally. It's you and me personally. If He said this about somebody else, you'd be so upset, wouldn't you? I would be. If He said this was only to such and such or only to someone else, I'd be so upset that He didn't say me. But He said it's to you. You who believe me. You who follow me. You who are my people. I will settle you. And all the settling that Jesus does within the church of God. Within the gospel sphere. And we can see it right through, can't we, with dear David. You look at the trouble he had in Saul's house. He knew the Lord had made him king. He knew the Lord had put him in that office. He had been anointed for it. And the moment he was anointed, trouble came. The moment he was found in the palace, trouble came. And it came in quantities. The Lord didn't hold back, did he, with David? I mean, how many places have you ever been to where a javelin's been thrown at you? The poor man thought, this is where the Lord wants me. And this is where the Lord did want him. He actually put him within the palace, and then he had a javelin thrown straight at him, and it just missed him. This isn't the place the Lord wants me. This can't be right. This isn't what's in His will. This was the very place David should be. But Lord, how can it be right? How can I ever settle here? Because it drove David to his knees. And you and I, I've said often, there's not far to our knees. It's about, I don't know, 2 foot is the length of, or a foot and a half is the length from knee to the foot, or whatever it is, however tall you are. It's not far, is it, to go down? That's the hardest distance we can go in our lives. It's down that little bit, down onto our knees. You know, I read of a man, he was in prison, and the Lord broke into his heart. He was delivered, he was an innocent man, but they jailed him for so many years. This was years ago, and he didn't know that his godly old mother had been to see the king, and they'd worked out something that he could be released. But this man, while it was happening, he was born again and brought by Jesus to his feet. And he went down on one knee. That's pride. He went down on one knee. He thought, I'm not going down on both knees. He thought, I'll just go down on one knee and see if he answers my prayer. And what did the Lord do? He made him go down on both knees. He brought him so low, he brought the pride of man down so low, that he went down on both knees and the Lord appeared for him. Now, I'm not saying that just because we go down on two knees, the Lord appears. But this is what the Lord does in His people, because He's settling them at the throne of grace. I ask you a question, and it is a personal question, and you answer before God, but have you really got a place set up for you at the throne of grace? Is there a place with your name on it? So when you go to prayer, all you're doing is going to that place that the Lord has provided for you, not into someone else's place, your place. Every one of His children has a place at the throne of grace, their name there, and that's where they should often resort to. Have you got your name there? Do you take up that place before the throne of grace that He's provided for you? How long is it since you've been there? Because I do find sometimes, friends, we neglect the throne of grace. We take it for granted that it was there. You just imagine this evening
If the message came through that there was no longer the throne of grace, what would you do? Well, those that neglect the throne of grace, they wouldn't mind too much, would they? But those that live at the throne of grace, where they find this settled peace, where they find that in prayer they can settle, because they know that they have the access to God.
Have you got a place? We've got a lot of words in prayer, haven't we?
Don't misunderstand me, friends. We pray every day, don't we? Whether it be evening and the morning, or whether it be both. We have a lot to say to God, don't we? But do we ever really pray and find settledness? Are we settled there? Do you come away feeling at peace? Do I? Do you really come away feeling at peace, friends? Feeling that all is well? Feeling that the Lord has settled those things in your heart? Well, whatever it is this evening, I believe every child of God will experience this word. Because heaven is a place where all are settled. No one wants to come out of heaven. They all want to get out of hell. I don't know whether you ever think of these things, friends, but every single one of them would like to get out of hell. Every one of them. They see their just deserts, and for a long eternity they will have to spend it there, and there's no way out. They will never be settled. Never. It's a place that we really can't imagine or understand, but you know it's there because Jesus has told us. But heaven is totally different. You will never want to come out of heaven. Never. No matter what age you die, you will never ever, because it is such a settled place for the people of God. So whatever your concerns are this evening, wherever you are this evening, in the pathway of life, do you find this settling? Do you? Like in Pilgrim's Progress, why, he sat down on that bench, didn't he? He took a little bit of a rest and he thought to himself, I'm settled now. Oh, he was soon woken up and he went on his way quickly, and what happened? He left his passport at the bench. He went to clutch in his breast. He thought he was settled there. He went to clutch in his breast and it had gone. He got no entrance into heaven. He got nothing. He had to make his way all the way back down the hill to the bench, where he had settled, and he found it and he picked it up. And what a treasure it is, isn't it, when you are restored, when you and I are restored to those former blessings. And yet they're not really former, are they? They're those blessings that the Lord would have renewed in your heart today. You know, unless the Lord is leading us, we won't find anything settling. You know, I think like this. Some places that I've worked, I thought, this is the place that the Lord would have me. I had a lot of prayer in it, and I felt he was leading me. Especially one place. I thought, the Lord has got me out of this certain place that I dreaded going to work. And I thought, he's answered my prayers, and I'm out. I could rejoice in him. I was there for just over a week. And I knew it was wrong. I knew it wasn't the place that I should be in. I knew that I'd settled myself there. I knew that I'd answered my own prayers. And yet I thought it was from God. But the moment I got back to my old job, I see where I went wrong. I saw immediately that I took up something that I shouldn't have done. I should have waited for him. And so in all our lives, friends, if we really want to understand this word personally, we should be waiting for God. In the house of God. In the very house of God. Do you feel settled sometimes? Do you really feel that this is the Lord's will for you? Sometimes. Sometimes you could sing at the top of your voice, couldn't you? You could praise his name so loud amongst the churches, couldn't you? You could shout from the rooftops that I am in the will of God. I feel I'm in the will of God. And there's sometimes where you think, I don't know where I am. I don't know what I'm doing.
I don't know whether I should be doing this or that or what I should be doing, until the Lord breaks in again and sorts you out. We're such a complex thing, aren't we? And I think to myself, how on earth, and I want to speak naturally, but how on earth did we get through those first few years of our life without God? How did we? Those teenage years, how did we get through? How did we do it? I mean, it's a struggle when you do know God. It's a real struggle when you know Him, when He's leading you, when you feel settled in a place. But how did you get through to that? When everything was chaos around you, when everything was chaos in your heart and mind, and you couldn't sort anything out, and you didn't ask Him to sort it out, you thought you'd do it yourself. You young people, and there might be those young people listening, the Lord is such a precious person, that even there, when you don't know what to do, He's still there. Call upon Me, He says. Call upon Me. And everything is ordered with God, isn't it? We tend to think that, oh, this has just happened. Or that's just happened. It's ordered. We sing it, don't we? Ordered in all things and good. But we don't believe it. We don't believe it. You know, it's only from time to time that when faith is enlivened that we ever believe that things are ordered. Something happens in my life, something happens in the family, and straight away we go to God, but we think, what's He doing? What's happened? We thought it was all ordered. We thought it was all running plain, straight. But no, friends. No, you have to learn it. Yeah, we have to learn what His will is. We have to learn that what He does is still ordered. No matter what it is, He orders it. And that's why the sun and the moon and the stars and the earth continue. Because He has put them in order. And your little life that you have, doesn't matter who we think we are, doesn't matter how we appear before God, He is ordering our lives, every one of us. From our birth to our death, our life is ordered. And it's ordered by God. When those doors open, it's not a door that you opened. You might pray for it to be opened, but the Lord's giving you prayer because He's going to open it. Those doors that He shuts, we can't open them. There's no way we can open them. Listen, have you ever tried to open a door that's locked? You can pull on the handle, can't you? You can pull the door off its hinges, can't you? But you shouldn't be going in there. And when the Lord shuts a door, friends, you shouldn't be going in there. We strut as poor creatures. I know I do. The Lord shuts a door and you try to bang on it. You think, well, I know it's going to open, and it never does open. Because all things are ordered. It's all, like I said, all is settled. It's so easy to say these things. It's so easy to sing them. But to walk it out when doors are closed, when you set your heart on something and a door is closed, and then you come and you sing, all is settled and my soul approves it well. Friend, it's something that is so adverse to our flesh, but the soul believes it. And I feel this, the more the Lord does for you, the more you'll trust Him. The more you'll trust Him. He will, you will, and He will do things for His people so that they do trust Him. And there's nothing like having settled peace with God, is there? There's nothing like it. To see the dear Redeemer in your place, to see the dear Redeemer suffering for you, that gives settled peace. And you'll keep that in your heart forever. It's something that you lose the sweetness of it, but you never lose it. You never lose a revealed Christ. Never. He's there, and you know He's there. And so perhaps the prayer is tonight. Perhaps there's one that's saying, Lord, settle me in this matter. Settle me. There's something in me. There's something around me. There's something going on. Lord, I need settling. Well, the promise is still the same today as it ever has been. I will settle you. Well, I leave it because of the ordinance, but it's a beautiful word to take with us, isn't it? What a promise it is to rest on, friends, in this life. I will settle you. And when you come down to that very day, when your life shall be taken from you, listen, to have this promise in your heart, when you have all the fears of the darkness, all the fears of the unknown way, and he says, I will settle you. I will settle you. Well, may the dear Lord forgive anything that's been said amiss. Amen. May we be helped to commence this sacred worship this evening with hymn number 13. The tune is Beatitudo 97. I'll read the first verse and we'll sing verses 1, 2 and 3. God's mercy is forever sure, eternal is his name. As long as life and speech endure, my tongue this truth proclaim. Hymn number 13, the first three verses, the tune is 97. Help to read a few verses from St. John's Gospel,
chapter 15, verses 11 to 14. Chapter 15 of John's Gospel, verses 11 to 14. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. This verse in the middle, verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. We've been about, and you've seen this written on a memorial stone, haven't you, for the soldiers. And they put a text underneath, above it are a list of men, and they've devoted their life to Queen or King and country, whatever time it was, and they've given their lives. They've been willing to go onto the front line, thinking that they won't be hurt. Remember, friends, they don't go thinking that they're going to be killed. They think they're all coming home. Not many came home. That's why the stone was written. And underneath, greater love hath no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. But now when we speak about Jesus, he knew he wasn't coming back. He knew, friends, he would have to pass through death. He actually knew. He went to the enemy. He went to fight and to die. He actually died for the sins of his people. He actually went to war with the adversary, with the wrath of God. He went knowing that these things would be his death. It's an amazing thing when you come to Jesus, isn't it? Really, this can only be said. I know the sentiment. I know what they mean when they write this on a stone. I know what they mean, friends. But this word can only be spoken of the dear Lord Jesus himself. Greater love hath no man than that a man, than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. Now my question to you is this evening, and to my heart, more to my heart perhaps than yours, are you a friend of Jesus? If you are not his friend, he did not lay down his life for you. He didn't. It's clear. If you are his friend, if he is your friend and you are his friend, he laid down his life for you. And in this life, in this life that we live now, in these few years the Lord has given us, before a never-ending eternity, he will make known to your heart that he is your friend. And you are his. Do you know, it comes right down, and it comes down to the dying thief, the man that breathed his last before he went into glory, and he was quickened, repented. All those things took place on the cross. He repented because he said, this man has done nothing amiss, but we deserve the punishment of our sins, but this man. And so he was repenting while he was on the cross, and he had the entrance into glory. The Lord remembered him, but just before he went in, he knew Jesus was his friend. It's quite touching, isn't it, to make a friend in Jesus at that last moment. And that's the moment that the Lord became his friend and he revealed himself to him. Now, we poor creatures as we are in our unregenerate state think, well, he got in, we can get in. It's not like that, friends. It's not like that at all. You think of these people, they want a last minute conversion. Why do they want it? So that they can enjoy this world. They want everything of this world, and then at the last they want a conversion, the same as the dying thief. It's not like that with God. It's not. He didn't understand when he was a thief what was before him. He didn't understand at all of enjoying this life and heaven afterwards. But when he came to die, it was shown to him. He could really say while he was gasping for his last breath,
I have a friend in Jesus. And I really believe, friends, the Lord will bring you and I to this. That friend of the friendless. That friend which is closer than a brother. That friend which is born for adversity. That friend that will help you every stage of your life. And if you are his friend, and he is your friend, and first of all, we are his friends. He is ours. Because it all began with him, as your deacon said in the vestry. We love him. Because he first loved us. And that was such a precious word to me, not to speak of myself, but that was such a precious, that broke a snare that I was in. We love him only because he first loved us. That's the reason you love him, because he's already loved you. And so this is such a beautiful word. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. But it wasn't just his bodily life, was it? Think of what he laid down. What he actually laid down, his sufferings. And friend, he bore it all for eternity for these friends. All of them. For a never-ending eternity, the sufferings of Jesus paid. He paid for your entrance into glory. The payment, the debt. It's not half of a million years, friends. It's for eternity. There will never come a time, in time to come, in eternity to come, where the payment runs out. Now, only God could have done that, because only God knows how long. Only God, only somebody eternal could have done that. When his sufferings were for eternity, for a people for eternity, then we have to, faith only lives here, friends. Your mind and my mind can't understand that. It's not for a few days he paid for you. Once you're in heaven forever, because he paid that eternal bill. These are tremendous thoughts, aren't they? We read this word just as a text on the page, but to actually know that the great love he had was for eternity. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the same night in which Jesus was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, let us follow him. Dear Lord, we come to thy table. Oh, we thank thee that thou dost invite sinners. We thank thee, dear Lord, that the vilest sinner out of hell, that lives to feel his need, is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. We thank thee, Lord, that it is an ordinance for sinners, forgiven sinners, those with an interest in thee, those that find thy precious blood precious to them. And so do help us as we partake of these emblems. And may we be enabled, dear Lord, by faith to see through the emblem, to see thee in all thy sufferings, in all thy suffering love that thou didst do for thy people. We owe thee so much, dear Lord, and yet we can't pay it. And thou dost owe us nothing. Oh Lord, we do thank thee. Forgive us as we partake of these things. For thy dear name's sake, amen. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.
And when he had, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. Dear Lord Jesus, we do come now as we come to take the cup. Dear Lord, an emblem of thy precious blood, thy shed blood, that which cleanses, the fountain opened, where sin and uncleanness is done away with. Lord, where thou dost wash the sinner, and except we be washed, we have no part with thee. And so, dear Lord, may we truly enter into thee, by faith, enter into these things, Lord, as living realities to our hearts. Oh, we do pray. And Lord, we do beg that there might be many that are born again. There might be many quickened into divine life and brought into this house of God and to all the houses of God, Lord. May thy children come. Thou hast promised that they shall come. May they come once more. And Lord, we do pray that that the power or the preciousness of that precious blood shall never lose its power until all come to thee. Oh, we do pray then, be with us and remember us this evening as we partake of this wine. We do beg, dear Lord, that we might have our conscience sprinkled with that precious blood. Oh, Lord, help us. For thy dear name's sake, amen. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. May we be helped to close this little service with hymn number 13, the last two verses. He raised me from the lowest state. When hell was my desert, I broke his law, and worse than that, alas, I broke his heart. My soul, thou hast let what will ail a never-changing friend. When brethren, friends, and helpers fail, on him alone depend. Hymn number 13, the tune is 97, verses 3 and 5, 4 and 5. For the house of God. We thank thee for the communion of the brethren. We thank thee for the love and prayers. Dear Lord, and we thank thee for that friendship which thou dost show to thy people. Help us now as we part, dear Lord, be with us. Those that journey a long way, we pray that they might be kept safe. And Lord, do take us all home in peace and safety. And be with us each, dear Lord, and prosper thy cause here on earth. May those things that we do be for the furtherance of the gospel. May they all fall out for the furtherance of the gospel, Lord. Do help us each, we do pray, and build up Zion, we beg of thee. And, O Lord, do prepare us each for a never-ending eternity. Prepare us each to stand before thee. And may that preparation be going on within us now, dear Lord. Oh, we do pray. And forgive every sin. And now may the grace of the dear Lord Jesus and the love of God and the sweet fellowship and communion of thy Holy Spirit rest and remain with us now and forever. Amen.